Well, good morning and welcome to Bridgewater. I want to welcome you along with Pastor Jeff. If you're here for the first time or you're joining us online for the first time, my name is Barry and I have the privilege of being lead pastor of Bridgewater. It's kind of exciting. Pastor Jeff mentioned the square who joins us at this hour, at the 9:30 hour. I want to say hi to those who are joining us from the square. It's a retirement center out in Montrose, and they have every Sunday about 12 to 14 people that join us online and watch with us. So we're welcome. And one of the exciting things this morning is I got a chance to meet one of our online viewers, one of our online campus members, and from South Carolina. And so they've been watching from South Carolina and here today with us, which is so exciting. If you happen to be online and you see SC Susan and a South Carolina Susan, she's here in the house. Yeah, Susan. Woo! So super excited. I could spend a whole service just talking about the conversations I have with people who join online. And I had one last Sunday for quite a while talking and texting with someone who joins online and going through some things and had a great time talking to him. So I want you to know, I'm going to add what Jeff said. I don't want to beat a dead horse kind of thing, as they say. But it's just amazing the ministry that we're able to have because of your generosity. So thank you. God is using some of the things that we're doing. He doesn't need us, but he decided to use us. And I'm grateful that I'm a part of it, right? And so today we're going to start a new series, and it's a series, What Happy Couples Know. Now, I want you to know before you shut me off, this is a series on relationships. And so some people, they look at it and think, well, if I'm not married, this doesn't apply to me. But I want you to know this truly is about relationships. So whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're engaged, whether you just have friendships in life, this is going to help you develop healthy relationships. Hopefully it helps you and encourages you. And this is kind of like an all skate, right, for everybody. Do you remember back in the day, we were talking as our small group, year of the end party. Do you remember the days, and I know it's probably don't do as much now, but you would go to the roll arena and you would skate? And good. We have some old people like me. That's awesome. And so you skate around the oval and to the psychedelic glistening of the disco ball. And if you went like on a Friday night, you'd be doing like 70s rock and stuff like that and disco. And if you went to the Christian all skate night, whatever, on Monday nights once a month, you would have organ music, like just thumping organ music. It was incredible. So when we talked about you've been there, right? So you know what I'm talking about. So we started talking about the different kind of skates that they had when we were roller skating. And do you remember the skates? Like the person come up and goes, "This is ladies only skate." And all the guys that had sit off on the thing going, "Oh, are you serious?" And then it's like, "Couples only." Well, if you were hurting, you couldn't find a date or anything, like you stand on the sideline again. And then they had like ladies choice. And the one that was the toughest is the reverse skate, because you got so used to going the one direction, you had to go the other direction, like you're going, And then they would do these crazy things at these skates where you would do the hokey pokey. Like that was a Christian night, but they probably didn't do that on Friday night with the 70s rock. But you would do the hokey pokey, you know, put your skate in, put your skate out, and people were following the uncoordinated people. And then the best was the limbo, and everybody came out and tried to do the limbo on skates. So some of you are going back with me, okay? So I want you to know that this series, before you shut me off, this is an all skate kind of series, all right? This series is for everyone. And what I love about this kind of series is I like hearing your perspective, right? So you have women out there, and you can hate me and write me letters later. I'm okay with that. But anyways, so you get out there, and the women, this is what they're thinking themselves, and they're probably even looking at you guys. They probably already have done one of these jobbies. This is on relationships. And so what you want me to do is try to fix your man, right? You want me to do whatever I can to fix your man. Yeah. And the guys are looking at each other going, "This is a trap. Run!" So as we come to this series, this is how guys approach a series. It's kind of like women approach cars. Here, let's do this. This is how we approach a series. We don't want to work on it. We just want it to work, right? So it's like, hey, let's talk about it. Why? Why do we have to talk about this? I don't want to talk about it. We just want it to work. So here's a couple guidelines as we start going through this series together. And some ground rules. So what I don't want you to do is take the points of this series, the verses of this series, And I want you to use them for good and not evil, okay? So when you're going home, I don't want you to take these verses, I don't want you to take these principles, and I don't want you to club the person in the car with them, okay? You should listen to this. That was for you. So please don't club the person with the verses or the points that we talk about today. Secondly, I want you to realize this. Rome wasn't built in a day. And so when I say that is the dysfunctions, the issues that you have in your relationships, whether it's friendship, whether it's people you work with, whether it's an engagement, or whether it's marriage, I don't care what relationship you're in, the dysfunctions that you've built or embedded in that relationship over years is not going to be resolved in a conversation that you have this afternoon, all right? It's going to take time. It's kind of like weeding a garden, because if we're in the gardening season, you're going to get a lot of gardening illustrations in the weeks to come. And so, but it's like gardening. When you weed a garden, you do what? One plant at a time, one row at a time, and you make your way through. And I think there's a time that that's what we do with our relationship. We just start working kind of one plant at a time. And sometimes even when you get the roots out of the weeds, maybe there's a little bit left in the bottom and you're just like, it comes back. So I want you to know that some of the things that just because you say, hey, we're going to work on this, it doesn't mean that you're not going to continue to struggle with it down the road. It's something that we need to keep working on as time goes on. Having a healthy relationship takes a lot of prayer, a ton of prayer, and it takes a lot of work if you want to have healthy relationships. It takes two. When people fight, I always say it takes two to tango, but it takes two to have a healthy relationship. You both need to spend time working on it and praying about it. And so some of the problems that come up when we talk about relationships that are unhealthy are the expectations that we end up having in those relationships. We look to other people and we have our hopes, we have our dreams, we have our desires. This is who we are. And when the person in the relationship, the other person, whether it's a friendship, whether it's somebody at work, whether it's somebody you're engaged to, or whether it's somebody you're married to, we have our hopes, we have our dreams. And when you don't help me accomplish my hopes, my dreams, and my expectations, the relationship oftentimes becomes rocky. Isn't that fair? And sometimes the expectations that we have can be godly. Sometimes they can be realistic. But can we be honest with one another? There's times that in our relationship, some of the expectations that we have are self-centered. And if I can be honest, sometimes they're really ungodly. So the very foundation of what we're talking about in relationships, we're going to go back to a passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2 that people have referred to it as a kenosis passage, which means it's a self-emptying passage where we look at what Jesus did for us, where Christ emptied himself. He laid aside voluntarily some of who he was to come to this earth for what? For your good, not his own. He came here for you. And these are what the verses says. The first five verses says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. And do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You got to understand that when Jesus came to this earth, when he stepped out of heaven and walked into humanity, I want you to know that he had a mindset that was not necessarily for his good or for his comfort, but it was for God's glory, and ultimately that you can be restored in your relationship to him. If it was about him, he never would have stepped out of heaven. He never would have dealt with the frustrations of mankind, and he certainly never would have went to the cross. But because of love, because of unconditional love, because of biblical kind of love, because his desire to humbly serve others, when he taught, when he exhorted, when he led, no matter what he did, I want you to know this, he did it for your benefit and for your good and ultimately for his glory. When he came here, He set aside his comfort for you. His love was not selfish. There was no conceit in his love or in service. But instead, it was unconditional and it was humble. So here's what's interesting to me. If you want to have a healthy relationship, we need to have a similar mindset as Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if we had that mindset, how different your relationships would look in life? I think it's fair to say that when we live with a self-centered relationship where it has to revolve around us, it's very difficult to have a healthy relationship. So if you want to ruin a relationship and blow it up, I encourage you this. Take every principle that we learn in this series, and I want you to throw it out the window and live for self. And you'll go from one unhealthy relationship to another. So here's what happens when we demand that the world revolve around us. That we get to evaluate our relationships, and the next slide here, and it says this. Does the health of your relationship come down to these things? These are practical things, but does the health of your relationships, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a marriage, does it depend on this? Does it come down to expectations related to task? So what I mean is, this is a conditional relationship. This is the kind of relationship where we have a checklist. And the person that you're in a relationship with, you have to go down the checklist, and if you want to have a healthy relationship, they had better put a check in each of the boxes. Because if they don't, it's going to be unsettled, and our relationship will falter. So, why am I the one who always has to do the house cleaning? Why do you never do the dishes? How come I always have to remind you to do stuff? We start walking through life and we start having this checklist in our mind of what the other person is supposed to do. And when they don't measure up to our checklist, what happens is the relationship begins to falter. Does that sound like your relationship? As long as they put a check in the box, things are going good. But as soon as they miss a check, you're all over it. And you're going to make them pay. Secondly, getting what you want. Does a relationship depend on you getting what you want? I don't want to go to that restaurant. I don't. I don't want to go to your parents for July 4th. Hey, I don't want to go to the beach for vacation. I want to go to the mountains. I don't want to watch a Hallmark Christmas special. I want to watch Beat Bobby Flay. Right? I don't want an artificial Christmas tree. I want a real Christmas tree. We come up with all of these things that we want, and if we don't get what we want, we're like a little two-year-old that throws a temper tantrum. So if everything goes your way and you get what you want, you get to go on the vacations you want, spend the holidays with who you want to spend it with, and you get to watch Hallmark Christmas specials, then all of a sudden, everything's good. But as soon as you come home and Beat Bobby Flay's on, you're throwing a conniption fit. Third, does it come down to material possessions? This even goes beyond what you want. This comes down to things. We have these expectations in our mind of a certain kind of house, a certain kind of car, being able to do certain kinds of things. And we go through this checklist in our mind of saying, I've got to have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on 2 acres. I have to have this. I have to have this, or I'm not going to be happy. You have a roof over your head, a perfectly fine car, and you sit there going, I want something else. Why? Because my sister got one. And we deserve it too. And if I don't get what I want, I'm going to be very unhappy. Fourth, the other person never makes a mistake. This is hard. Is Jesus in the house? Like, is there any Jesuses out there? Listen to me. We're human beings and we make mistakes. Every one of us make mistakes. And somehow in relationships, we are involved with this other person as a friendship or in a marriage. And when they mess up, in your mind, you're saying, I'm done with you. I'm done. I'm not walking down this road with you. I'm through. Finally, Does a relationship revolve around you? And what I mean by that is, you know those friends that they want your undivided attention. If you have lunch with someone else at school, oh, so what? It's an issue of loyalty, right? Are you kidding me? What, you got a new friend? Or probably some of you have experienced this, that when you sit down with them, you go to breakfast with them, you hang out with them, they talk for like 45 minutes or 50 minutes about them. And it's a great breakfast. But as soon as you say, you know, I'm going through a couple of things in my life. Hey, I got to go. I got a lot of stuff. Look at the time. Does the relationship always have to revolve around you? See, do you understand what it means to have the mindset of Christ, where it's others first, when it's biblical, unconditional love, and when it's humble service, serving one another? Let's look at those verses again. Therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So many of you have relationships, and what you base it off is growing up in a dysfunctional family. The blueprint you set for your relationships is what you have seen, what you heard, or what you experienced. And if your experience is dysfunction, oftentimes the relationships that you create, develop, and live in are dysfunctional as well. I was texting with somebody, and they said, they're talking about making decisions, and I looked at them and said, like, well, you can't base your decisions off the example of a dysfunctional family, because that's what they grew up in. And the response was this, and I thought it was interesting. Dysfunction is all I know. That's all I know. So oftentimes we base it off what we've seen, heard, or experienced. Sometimes we look at TV, and we base our blueprint for relationships off what we see on TV. Our hopes and our dreams are what we see in the movies. It's what we read in books. We all want to be the Tanners or the Huxtables or the Brady Bunch, right? We all want to be that. But the reality is, how do you establish a relationship on something that is not real? So here's the deal with expectations. When you walk down this road of having expectations with someone else, sometimes they're realistic, sometimes they're unrealistic. Sometimes they're godly, sometimes they're ungodly. Sometimes if we don't get what we expect out of the relationship, then it blows up and it falters. But if we walk down this road and they meet our needs and they do their assignment, then we're going to be okay. But if you don't, if we hit a pothole along the way, then our relationship goes out of alignment. This is what expectations are. It's a strong belief that something will happen or that it will be that way in the future. So we live with this strong belief as we put this pressure, this assignment on other people, no matter what relationship you're in at work, friendship, or marriage, that something's going to happen and that it's going to be that way in the future. And if it's not, the relationship goes south. So here's what happy couples know. Here's what about relationships know. First of all, this: expectations create a debt-debtor relationship. If you do something for me or I do something for you, the sin nature and depravity says this: you owe me something. Maybe not now, but someday you owe me. It's like the mafia movie, The Godfather. And yeah, I'm going to like The Godfather and Hallmark Christmas. We should do a Hallmark Godfather Christmas special. What do you think? But the Godfather, it's what he says in the thing. Someday, and that day may never come, but basically I'll ask you for a favor. But until that day, consider this as a gift on my daughter's wedding day. So you tell people when they do something for you, you do something for them, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But someday. So you come back months later, a year later, hey, can I borrow your tools? Can I borrow the truck? Can I do whatever? Yeah, I don't think I want to lend that out. Hey, do you remember a year ago? Do you remember a year ago? We have these expectations. And I want you to know that when we live with these expectations, it's really hard. It's really hard to have true biblical love and an unconditional love within our relationships when all we do is live with these expectations of wanting something back, knowing that you owe me something or I owe you something. And when we live with those expectations, we're not very grateful for when they actually come through, right? Because if you did something for someone else and they finally pay you back, we're not happy about it, really, because they just did what we expect them to do. That's what we end up doing. If you live in a relationship of expectation, you take the other person eventually for granted. Why? Because they're just doing what they're supposed to do that you've concocted in your mind to say that's your responsibility. Why would I be grateful for it? So when I pay my mortgage payment, I don't get a handwritten note from the bank president saying, thank you for making your mortgage payment this month. Why? Because they just expect it. As they gave me the loan, they expect me to pay it back. Kids who are given everything in life, when they break their toys, I want a new one. And mom and dad go buy one. And it doesn't get any different. I got a car. I crashed it. You needed me to give me another car. Why? Because they become entitled. They become expectant. And in our relationships, and especially the longer we're in our relationships, there are times that we become entitled and expectant, and we don't look at the other person with gratitude. And I want you to know, when there's no gratitude in a relationship, you're heading down the wrong road. Because gratitude, I think, fuels a healthy relationship by being appreciative. When we become expectant, we take biblical love out of the equation. So this is what a relationship sounds like. So I did the dishes today. So you need to pay for lunch. Well, we didn't go out for lunch. We went out for dinner. Dinner costs more than lunch. So now you owe me a 10-minute back massage. Yeah, but listen to me. But you were supposed to feed the dog, and you didn't feed the dog, and I did, so that erases the 10-minute back massage. Well, but I put gas in your car, and that's your job. I'm not responsible for what you are, so I did that. So you got to mow the lawn. Hey, you didn't give me anything for Mother's Day, so don't expect anything for Father's Day. Hey, it's Valentine's Day. You owe me chocolate and flowers. Do you get where I'm going with this? How many of your relationships sound like that? It's like a transaction. We're not talking about biblical love. We're not talking about humbly serving somebody else. We're not talking about having the mindset of Christ. What we're talking about in our life is this. This is a transaction where you owe me stuff and I owe you stuff. And we better make sure we keep it even. Because if it's not, the relationship will begin to falter because you feel like you're getting hosed in the deal. So when things don't go our way, this is what happens. When relationships don't meet our expectations, we leave. You know people like this. This is what I signed up for. This is not what I bargained for. I'm out of here. And here's what's amazing to me. You take those exact same dysfunctions and expectations and you put it in your next relationship. And so people go from one relationship to another to another. They start walking through these dysfunctional relationships and they sit there and they make statements like this. Why isn't there anybody out there? Why isn't there anybody out there who's a good person? And at some point, you have to look in the mirror and say, if I've been through a ton of horrible relationships, what is the common denominator? What's the common denominator when you've been through all kinds of relationships? It's me. And it's you. You just carry your dysfunctions and your expectations from one relationship to another. When you live with a debt-debtor relationship, I want you to know this. It's really hard and next to impossible to develop any kind of healthy relationship. But when you have the mindset of Christ, listen to me, when you have the mindset of Jesus, You create this culture in your relationship that's a healthy culture. And it's amazing that when you humbly serve other people with nothing, not expecting anything in return, and when you love them unconditionally, it's amazing. It is amazing the kind of culture you create in your relationships. We win. When they don't meet our expectations, we win. And what it means is you'll do anything it takes to win in your relationship. You'll pout, you'll complain, you'll threaten. You do whatever it takes to win, to get your way. And you won. But you remember the old saying, you may win the battle, but lose what? The war. As they walk away from this relationship, you're really happy because you won. They walk away really unhappy and feeling like maybe they're missing out on something. Third, we conform. This is dangerous. When I do premarital counseling, I tell people when we do premarital counseling, if that person's not going to help you become everything you need to be in Christ, if that person's not going to lead you to become everything that God wants you to be, with all your gifts, your talents, and abilities, if they're not going to cheer you on, but they're going to suppress you in this relationship, run away! Because my goal is to make sure the other person in the relationship becomes everything they need to be in Christ. Everything. And if God's called them to be something or do something, if he's given them a talent or ability, what I want to do is cheer them on. I don't want to make them conform to what I think they should be. Because if they conform to what I need to be, they're not being who God wants them to be. And that's not a great position to be in. We keep score, man. This is a situation where it's a trust issue. Because we sit there and say, well, if we're compromising, we want to keep score of who compromises the most. We want to make sure who's compromising the most. And if you feel like this scale is a little unbalanced, you're not going to be happy. You're taking advantage of me. Trust is broken. Do you keep score in your relationships? So real quick as I end up, so what do we really owe one another? This is what happy couples know. We owe each other everything, but are owed nothing in return. We owe each other everything, but are owed nothing in return. Could you imagine if Jesus Christ came in and said, I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to sacrifice you. I'm going to humbly serve you. I'm going to go out and teach. I'm going to get weary in what I do physically. I'm going to do everything. Why? For you. And the whole time he sat there and said, okay, this is what I expect from you back. Oh, you're not doing it? Then I'm going to stop teaching, I'm going to stop leading, I'm going to stop exhorting, and I'm not going to the cross because you didn't hold up your end of the deal. No, he came and said this, I'm emptying myself for your good. I'm setting aside my needs, my comfort for your good. And no matter how many times you mock me, no matter how many times you turn against me, no matter how many times you fail me, I am here for you. That's the mindset of Christ. If you walk into a relationship with that mindset, I promise you, you will have a different relationship. Here's what the verses say. I'm going to go through them really quick. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Goes on, he says this, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is what Peter says. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in a way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Man, when you have the mindset of Jesus Christ in your relationships, it brings God incredible joy. Why? Because you look a lot like Jesus. But I ended up with the short end of the stick here, the short stick in this relationship. But I'm going to love biblically, and I'm going to serve humbly, and God finds joy in us having the mindset of Christ. I want you to know this. Healthy relationship takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of prayer. And it takes a different kind of mindset. So here's a question I have for you. Do you love with strings attached? Do you love with strings attached? Because if you do, that's not biblical love. Do you serve with the idea that somebody owes you something? I want you to know if you do that, that's not a healthy relationship. That's a relational contract that has all different kinds of clauses and amendments to it as you walk through the relationship and say, you have to fulfill these things. Not a healthy relationship. It's a contract. It's an assignment. And that's not what God has called us to. This is what God has called us to. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you looking to the interest of others. Father, I thank you so much. This is some practical stuff in a world that really is teaching that everything revolves around us. We're the captains of our ship. No one can tell us what to do. It's just the exact opposite of who you are. I pray that we would look to the example of Christ and it would guide us, it would lead us. Father, help us to be people who are not filled with conceit or filled with anything that's unpleasant to you, but instead that we sacrifice, that we love, that we give and we serve for the good of others and for your glory ultimately. Man, help us to have healthy relationships. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.